Well, it is good to see you as we are sort of officially in the middle now of the Lent season. And I pray that your Lenten season has been fruitful, that you're seeing tangible ways in which God is moving in your life. We have been, like Jamie talked about, in a series called Good, Beautiful, and Kind. It's a series that we actually started back before Advent. And we took a little break in January and we came back during Lent. And it is based on a poem that I'm going to read for you, that I've read for you before, but I want to keep this in front of us as often as I can. It's a poem by the author named Langston Hughes. And he wrote this poem that's called Tired. And it says this: I am so tired of waiting, aren't you, for the world to become good and beautiful and kind. Let us take a knife and cut the world in two and see what worms are eating at the rind. Now, I've said this before, but I think it's important to continue to note that when Langston Hughes wrote this poem, his goal was not to talk about cutting the world in two and create more division than already exists. In fact, his goal was to sort of reveal at that which eats at the core of the world as it was created by God to reflect God's glory, which of course is good and beautiful and kind. And Langston Hughes names these worms that sort of eat at the rind of this goodness, this beauty, and this kindness. And we've preached through a number of these worms, haven't we? We've talked about a number of these worms that we experience on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. We started the entire season talking about how the worm of sin eats away at the rind, right? We talked about how sin is not just something that we do, it's a power that needs to be defeated. Thank you, Jesus, that he has conquered that on the cross. We talked about the power last week, the powers and principalities that are, the Bible says that our conflict is not with flesh and blood, it's not with each other, it's with something that is both seen and unseen. That there's a power and principality that's at work in the world. We also talked about how the power of contemplative prayer in our lives can actually reveal the goodness and the beauty and the kindness that is there. And we talked about these different characteristics of humility that need to be a part of our lives as we deal with this world and try to follow the Spirit's lead to create a more beautiful reality. And I wanted to provide this context for you today, because the plan today, originally, was to preach on sort of part two of Ephesians 6. We started this last week, and we talked through the powers and principalities, and I was planning on unpacking Ephesians 6 a bit more today, talking through the full armor of God. That is going to now wait until next week. As many of you know, our family was hit with tragedy this week. My father-in-law, who was very close with our family, by the name of Rod Darcy, passed away on Tuesday morning. And my wife Maria and her mother, her sister, we've been together all week celebrating and planning to celebrate Rod's life. Rod was dealing with some very serious health issues for a very long time. His heart and his lungs were failing. He spent a very good portion of January at Abbott in Minneapolis, where the doctors said, you need to have a valve replaced or you're not going to live very long. But his lungs were so unhealthy that they couldn't do the procedure. They told him, you just won't make it through, so you need to figure out what's going on with your lungs. He then went home for a couple days. After a couple days of being really not well, went down to Mayo. And at Mayo, there was two teams of people that kind of came together to try to find solutions for him. And after running all these tests for over a week, all these different painful tests that included dyes and different meetings with different doctors, they finally determined that there was no test that he could do that he'd make, or no procedure that he could get through. And so he finally stopped all the tests and he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to just exist and be and rest until my final days come. And so that's what he did. He was put under hospice care, long-term hospice care, and we didn't know if it'd be days or weeks or months or even years. But I think we all made the best of those days. And I really want to say thank you to you as a church for supporting us through that, praying for us. We have felt that, I think, as a family. Well, on Tuesday morning, Rod's body finally gave up. And when Pam woke up, he was gone. And we don't know exactly how he passed, if his heart stopped, if his lungs gave out. Either way, he was with Jesus, right? Some man who deeply loved Christ. And so I wanted to just kind of share with you some raw emotion from the week, rather than try to put together and throw together a sermon that deserves a bit better attention. I actually want to do some reflecting with you today on just kind of a very human element. My father-in-law was an amazing man. He was an incredible son. He was an incredible brother. He was an incredible husband. He was a wonderful father, and he was just a phenomenal grandfather. An amazing friend, I'm sure, to many. He was among the most generous and service-oriented people that I've ever met. And so this week, when we were planning the funeral, Pam, his wife, asked me to write the eulogy. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to write a eulogy before. It's actually a really unique and, I would say, very challenging process, because you want to honor the person so much, and yet how much of their life do you get? And so through the process of writing that eulogy, I was also wrestling with, well, what do we talk about on Sunday morning here at New City? And we are in this sermon series talking about the calling that we have to contribute to the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the world to make the world more good, beautiful, and kind. And as I looked at the words of this eulogy, I'm like, I am looking at a beautiful example of someone who committed their life to making the world just that. And so I just want to very humbly come to you today and show you some highlights from my father-in-law's life. This is a very non-traditional sermon, but that I think is a great reminder for us as Jesus followers, imperfect people, people who are broken, trying to figure it out, that I actually think are great examples for us as we try to pursue this good, beautiful, and kind life. The words that I have for you today are a bit unscripted, and I'm not actually sure what I'm going to say. It's one of those kind of days. So I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to make it good, and I'm hoping that what is said, I've got a couple categories I want to talk about, and it's not going to be long, but I'm hoping that what is said, maybe you could process in your own life, in the way that you are journeying with Jesus, no matter what your story is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you bring into the room today, maybe there's a nugget here or two that God would sort of use to compel you to kind of move the needle further as we all try to participate in what the Lord is doing in our world. There are many things that I can name about my father-in-law's life, right? I can talk to you about the really difficult upbringing that he had, and that he was a survivor, okay? I could talk to you about that, that the life that he created for his daughters was actually a miracle. We could talk about that. We're not going to talk about that, but I could tell you that's one of the things that's amazing, right? I could tell you about the life he had pre-Jesus that was really rough, that was really difficult, that there had been some things that had happened in his life, even some decisions that he'd made that he would tell you weren't that amazing. But I've come down to three different things that I want to tell you about that I think are actually worth highlighting, and I submit them to you now. And the first thing that I want to talk about today, as I reflect on my father-in-law's life, is that, number one, we all have a calling. You and I, each of us, no matter how old you are, whether you're in grade school, middle school, high school, college student, whether you are 80-plus years old or somewhere in between, we each have a calling. Rodney Darcy, my father-in-law, knew his calling, and he showed it throughout his life. Many people have what they call life verse. Maybe you do, right? One verse that sort of articulates everything that they're about. We don't know if Rod had a life verse. But as we thumbed through his Bible this week, his wife, Pam, found a verse that he had highlighted that had been something that she felt like propelled his calling forward. I'm going to read it for you now. I'm sorry, nothing is on the screen this week. But this verse was something that as she read it and as she gave it to me to read during his eulogy, I was like, yeah, this is it, right? This is what propelled him forward. It's found in 1 Chronicles 28. And of course, it's worth unpacking in a full sermon someday. Maybe we'll do that. But I'm going to read for you just one verse out of this. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10. And it says this, "Consider now, For the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And that is exactly how Rod lived his life. He was a builder. He could build anything, and he did quite often build many things, not just for himself, but for other people. He built up his family. He was always working on his faith, and he built up structures that were amazing. And he did it. This was a man who came from a difficult upbringing. He was strong, and he did it, and he leaned into this calling in amazing ways. And I will tell you, it most often wasn't with words. It was with his actions. It was with the way that he sacrificed for other people. It was the way that he cared for other people. Yesterday at his homegoing service, his memorial service, his brother-in-law, Pam's brother, talked about how when they were very young, he had an addiction to alcohol and all sorts of different kind of, you know, wild living, we would call it. And he said when Rod started to care for him, he decided to give his life to Jesus and gave all that up. And I guarantee that Rod never preached a sermon at him or pointed a finger like this. He just cared for him and continued to build with endurance this love that he had for people. Rod was famous for being the game leader of a children's ministry program called Awana. Has anybody ever heard of Awana before? Raise your hand. Right? Awana, if you don't know it, it's this like historical, dare I say, amazing kind of children's ministry program that some people love, some people not so much. I was a part of Awana as a kid. That's actually where I met the Darcy family. Rod led us in games as a little kid. And if you've ever seen my little son, Ethan, run the halls of this church, that's exactly how I was, right? And so Rod tried to corral me. I don't know that he did a very good job of that. But he led for years in this children's ministry program. And for those of you who have done that, you know the high calling that it takes to be a children's or youth ministry leader. But he believed that he was called, and he was strong, and he did it. He also served on the camp board at Lake Beauty Bible Camp, which is the partner camp to Covenant Pines, where we send our kids. And Lake Beauty, he was part of the board there that kept the camp going. He was also on the elder board at their church up in north of St. Francis, a church called Oxlip Evangelical Free Church. He served on the leadership team there. I would just tell you this, that Rod was an agent of positive change wherever he was serving, even though he had come from such difficult past. He knew what the other side of life looked like, and his goal was to lean into this calling. And the reason I bring this up to you today, friends, is because I believe we are also called to something. And I wonder if you would just reflect even on that verse. What has God called you to? What has he called for you to build up? And what is the word that he's called you to as you've endured through it? Is it a calling to a specific ministry, to a specific person, to use some sort of gift that you have to benefit other people? I mean, so many people have the gift of hospitality, the gift of teaching, leading others in Bible study. Is that your gift? I think there's a time where we get really tired and exhausted from continuing to serve. And so there is a time where we need to rally together, reboot, but there is still something that we are called to that we need to lean into. And the first thing I wanted to challenge you to think about as I reflect and celebrate my father-in-law's life is ask you the question, what are you called to? The second one is that you never know what God will do with a single seed that is planted. You never know what God will do with a single seed that is planted. Rod tells the story. Actually, we recorded him telling the story of how they fell in love with Jesus. And we played a little bit of it at the memorial service yesterday. But he tells the story that in 1975, I think they lived in a mobile home park, somewhere around Coon Rapids or that side of the city. And there's a Lutheran church not far away that had a kids program. It must have been in the summer, right? And this kids program, they were trying to recruit kids to come. And so they had like a bus, like a lot of churches owned buses back in the day. And this bus would drive through that mobile home park, and it would, you know, I suppose they spread out flyers and they picked up kids and they brought them to this, you know, day school Bible study thing, and then they brought them home. And of course, like good parents, Rod and Pam got to know the bus driver. They went and met the pastor. They found out what the program was about. It was this single seed of a bus driving through their neighborhood that actually led Pam and Rod to meet the pastor, get to know the church, and say yes to Jesus. And it changed everything in their life. And if you start to think down the road, and we're going to talk about this more in a minute, not only did it change their lives, but they raised both their daughters in the light of Christ. Their daughters have been doing their best to raise their kids, 7 grandkids to be exact, in the light of Christ. And how many generations may be impacted? Again, I'm going to talk more about this in a minute, because that bus driver decided to volunteer his time or her time, drive through a neighborhood, pick up kids, and bring them to like a VBS type thing. There is so much power in a single seed that can be planted. There's an interesting verse that talks about this. You probably read it before. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's Paul talking about this idea of a seed, right? He's talking about this idea of planting the seed, and he says, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. We've talked about this before. This isn't a new idea for us, but we've talked about this idea a lot lately about what can we do as a church as we continue to focus on the ways that God is calling us to grow. And friends, it is with planting one seed. The challenge for us, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. The challenge for us in this season of our lives is not counting success based on the harvest, although we pray for the harvest. It's counting success based on the seeds that we plant. Because you never know what God will do with one seed that we plant. We aren't responsible with what happens to the seed, right? We are called to be obedient to planting the seed. So what seed do you have the opportunity to plant in this season of your life? Is it with your neighbor who, you know, is having a difficult time? And so you make a cake for them or some meal and you bring it over and you just say, God bless you. Here's a meal I made for you. That's an incredible gift, right? What seed have you been called to plant with your coworker or your friend at school or somebody that may be hurting? I'm just praying for you. I'm sending you a text. I know this is a difficult thing. I'm praying for you. Who knows what God will do with that single seed? It could literally change a generation. It could change the trajectory of somebody's life. You never know what God will do with a single seed that is planted. And then the third thing and final thing I want to talk about in reflecting on my father-in-law's life, and I've already highlighted a little bit, and I apologize, but I want to encourage us to think generationally. To think generationally. There was an incredible moment yesterday at Rod's homegoing service, his memorial service, where all 7 grandkids stood up on the stage, and they shared. My 4 kids, Maria's sister's 3 kids. And I got to tell you, I didn't know what they were going to say. I had helped Ethan and Samantha come up with some things, but I didn't know what Josiah was going to say or Caleb. I didn't know what the other 3 were going to say. I thought maybe we'd see some here this morning. And I will tell you, if you ask anybody who was at the service, and some of you were there, thank you for coming, they would tell you it was the highlight for sure. Because those kids talked about how they wanted to be like their grandpa. Now, I got to tell you, I've been trying to get my kids to say those things, right, as a dad. There's power when a grandpa says something like that, right? When somebody's an example to their kids and to a generation of kids. I was absolutely amazed and thankful the way that God used Grandpa Rod to create a legacy in our families. Psalm 78 says this, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. We talked about this. This is in our DNA as a church. I'm going to say it again. We are called to, of many things in this season, to create a narrative and tell the story to our kids about the work that God has done in our lives. You have a story to tell. God has done something in your life that has probably saved you or is saving you, that God is working on your heart. You're overcoming something because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Tell your kids about it. Better than that, show them. Because it creates a narrative of generation to generation that is truly unbelievable. Rod passed on the power of God that had changed his life into our family, and we will forever be changed. And you know what? I thought about this kind of difficult thing to think about. He was not there yesterday as our kids shared these stories. But he would have been amazed at the depth of impact that he had made. And how much more will that happen down the road? And what a perspective to live our life by. That the work that we do while we plant seeds, while we lean into our calling, is going to impact a generation down the line. When we see our kids come up here on a Sunday morning, is that how we view them? That there's this generation to come. I think everything that we talk about as a church should be thinking about the second and third generation that comes after it. It is good work, friends. And it is a great perspective to have. Our challenge is to think in terms of generations, not only as individuals, but also as a church. Three things I give you today. I don't know how it lands with you. I don't know if you need to hear this today or not. But I give you these three things because they're the things that I'm wrestling with, and I share them with you just very humbly. And I want you to know that the glory here doesn't go to Rod Darcy. He would never want that. The glory never goes to any of us. It always goes to God and the work that God is all about. I'll just close with this. My Maria's uncle, Rod's brother, he shared at the service, and he talked about a concept maybe you've heard before. He said, you know, we just celebrated Rod's life and death. He was born on this date, and he died on this date, right? And you know what you can't control? You can't control the day you were born, right? I was born in 1973, the year I was born. I don't know what date I will die. But someday, somebody's going to write a eulogy for me, right? They're going to say, Timothy Ronald Ciccone lived 1973 to who knows when, right? I can't control what those dates are. But my uncle talked about we can control what the dash is filled with, right? That's what we can narrate. That's the thing that we can lean into so that when your eulogy is written someday, will they say that person contributed to the goodness and the beauty and the kindness that God was working on in God's world? And these are the things that I just think we're called to. And I submit that to you today. And this week, I want to ask you to lean into your calling, to get after it, to work at it, to plant a seed. That is something that we are so called to. And to think about the generations. And you never know what God might do with that little bit of effort. And these are step-by-step, minute-by-minute efforts. And we'll see God, what God does here in our church and in our lives together. So God bless you on that journey. Thank you so much for sharing our lives together. I think this vision that we have for an authentic community starts when we are raw with each other, and this is what I share with you today. And it's what I come to the table with today. I'd ask you to continue to pray for Maria and Pam and Lori as they're processing now life without Rod, which many of us have experienced it in this room. We know what that's like. So pray those honest prayers. We would really appreciate it. But I also pray and ask that you pray for each other as we lean into the calling that God has for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. So God, thank you for this moment to reflect and talk about a life well lived. And I ask, God, that you would even give us the ability right now to reflect on our own lives, that we would consider the way in which you are growing us, the way in which you are calling us, the way in which you are asking us to sort of rise above the chaos of our lives and lean into this discipleship narrative, this calling to follow you. And I am, Father, I'm just so thankful that I had the opportunity to be part of Rod's life, that I got to experience his love, his service, his care, his instruction. his work ethic. And Father, thank you that I get to brag on that life right now, that really I get to brag on you, Jesus. And Father, would you do that in our own lives? That as we consider the dash between the dates, would you give us the motivation, the challenge, the perspective? How about the vision, God, to follow your Spirit, to lean into our calling, to plant seeds, and to think about the generations? That is a life well lived. May we be about it here at the church and in our lives individually, in our families, in our friendships. We pray, God, that in all those things, you would get the glory. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray these things in your name. Amen.